morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March the 11th. And we will talk this hour about the debate going on in the Democratic Party over the fate of the delegates from Michigan and Florida. Both of those states moved up their primaries despite warnings from the Democratic National Committee that doing so would strip them of their delegates, that the delegates in those states would not be seated at the convention. But now the buzz is about whether both of those states should be allowed a do-over, maybe even a vote by mail. So voters in those two states do have a say in the outcome of the race for the Democratic nomination for president. Hillary Clinton won both of those contests in Michigan and in Florida, but no other Democratic candidates were on the ballot in Michigan, and all of the candidates agreed not to campaign in both of the states. So what should happen now? What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Susan McManus, Distinguished University Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida, co-author of the 2007 book in the series Politics in Florida. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we set up this interview yesterday to talk about the delegates in Michigan and Florida, and I do want to spend most of our time on that particular issue, but there have been some other big developments in the news of politics, including New York Governor Eliot Spitzer yesterday saying he failed to live up to the standard he expected of himself and now must dedicate time to regain the trust of his family. Spitzer apologized after allegations surfaced that he paid thousands of dollars to a prostitute. Law enforcement officials say that the New York governor was allegedly involved in a prostitution ring that was caught on a federal wiretap. He is reportedly identified in court papers as client 9, who paid for a 4-hour rendezvous with a prostitute at a Washington hotel last month. Now, some are calling for Spitzer to resign. Spitzer has not done that, at least not yet. Do you think he will?
There's a lot of pressure for him to do so. He not only will hurt himself, but his party. And I think that's where a lot of the pressure is going to come from. Not to mention his family. I mean, this is just one of those outrageous scenarios that every wife and his children, I mean, they're humiliated. That's the tragedy of all this. But it's just a nightmare for his family. And most people do not respect politicians that don't take care of their family first in these kinds of situations.
Right. Now, Governor Spitzer is a superdelegate. What will all this do to the race for president, if anything?
Probably refocus the battle on ethics again, and obviously there's a lot of name-calling and mudslinging at the moment going on in the contest, and this may have the potential to reel in some of that, at least momentarily.
Yeah. Well, to the subject that we did ask you to talk about, what's going to happen in Florida? Are you guys going to have another primary?
Well, I just read about 12 of our papers this morning, and everyone's a little bit skeptical that it's going to happen because there's so many hoops that have to be jumped through. But on the other hand, a lot of people are very hopeful that something will happen. It's just that there's not a lot of time left, and there's so many hurdles that have to be jumped legally.
Yeah. Well, why should Florida get a do-over?
Well, a lot of people feel that it was a legally sanctioned vote by a state legislature that has the authority under the law to set the date of elections. And the legislature passed it and the governor signed it. And there's a lot of feeling that states should have more control over this than a non-elected body like the Democratic National Committee. Although we've had a lawsuit where that was challenged, and the lower court at least ruled that it was the party's right to set their own rules for participation. So there's just a lot of thought down here that it wasn't the fault of the party that the date was moved up, and now that they should not be punished, when in fact we had a record turnout in Florida. Had 1.7 million Democrats vote, which was a record, as we say, and so there's a lot of feelings that that the Florida Democrats are being punished for something that really was out of their control.
Yeah. While it might have been a record turnout for the Democrats, didn't more Republicans actually turn out in Florida, in part maybe because Democrats thought they wouldn't be counted anyway?
No, there's not much evidence of that. There's pretty much even turnout in both parties. It was high, over 40%. But the Florida Democratic Party worked hard to get a high turnout. They did a lot of promotions. They, you know, had active internet rallies for people, and the party leaders and elected officials were going around saying, "Well, let's let Florida Democrats step up to the plate and express your opinions." So that was a big factor in why turnout went up. Is the party itself worked hard to say, "Let's tell the nation that Florida Democrats are enthused this year, and let's tell them what we think about who should be our nominee."
We're talking with Susan McManus, Distinguished University Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida, talking about the Florida and Michigan delegates and whether those two states might redo or rehold their primaries so the delegates can be seated at the Democratic National Convention. 1-800-642-1234. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March the 11th. Coming up a little bit later this morning, Kathleen Dunn after 9 o'clock talking about the Florida and Michigan primaries and delegates. Should they be redone? We are talking about the same subject during this hour with Susan McManus, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida. You know that Florida and Michigan were stripped of their delegates, their Democratic delegates, for holding their primaries too early. We're talking about all the talk about whether there should be a revote in each state or what should happen. Should the revote or the primaries perhaps be by mail, or should those states face the consequences of moving up their primaries since they were warned by the National Democratic Party of the penalty? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Professor McManus, how many delegates are at stake on the Democratic side for Florida?
210 plus one from Maine that moved down here, so 211 basically.
Yeah, and that would make a big difference in the outcome of the Democratic race?
Well, yes. Hillary Clinton won the primary here by some 17%, which means that she would get about 38 more delegates than Obama, and that would help her tremendously in closing the gap. And therein is the problem, because no matter what you propose, each campaign is sort of gaming the possible solution and seeing whether they're going to lose or gain vis-a-vis the opponent. And so one of the criteria for holding a revote is that the candidates have to agree to this, and that looks like one of the biggest hurdles of all.
Yeah, because even Hillary Clinton, she would want the original primary results and those delegates to be seated, not necessarily a do-over.
Right, and even the Congress members who are supporters of Hillary Clinton are themselves divided on whether this revote, especially one by mail, is desirable or not. Her national co-chair, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, has said she does not want a revote, whereas Senator Bill Nelson, who is another Clinton supporter, says he does. So, I mean, you just don't have any agreement very much of anywhere on this whole issue, yeah, other than the fact that Florida delegates need to be seated at the convention.
Yeah, and where are the Obama people? Are they stating a preference one way or the other?
They're very lukewarm, and of course the Reverend Sharpton is in Florida today, and he is vehemently against it, and he says that he's going to file a lawsuit if any revote or any redo is proposed formally. He's against it, and many of the Obama supporters, including a member of the DNC, a gentleman from Tallahassee, is also adamantly opposed to it.
The phones we go. Ray in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I think this is proof that our electoral system, the whole thing, is really shot with holes. This is basically like a game where the winners are going to tell us the rules of the game as the game is going on. The voters in Florida were disenfranchised in 2000. Those were the black voters. Not a single congressperson or senator stood up for their recount after that debacle, and that is shown quite clearly in Fahrenheit 911.
Yeah.
But I think their original votes should count. But if you want to get around this problem next time, have a national primary where everybody in the United States votes for the primary on one day. It might take money out of the media, but the media is what's driving this insane election cycle. Thank you.
You want to react to that?
Absolutely, because he's hit on a nerve in Florida among Florida Democrats who are very angry at the DNC, precisely for the reason they say, look, you know, we have complained for 8 years about the disenfranchisement of voters in the 2000 election, and now our own party is doing that to us in a year where we think we've got a good shot of carrying Florida. This has really struck a raw nerve among Florida Democrats. And as to the national primary, I tend to agree with the caller. I think that the only solution to the front-loading, and there's no stopping it unless there is a national primary, and at the same time you held one of those, you could also move the start date back further so that the election doesn't begin 2 years ahead of time and create all the kinds of problems that we've seen this time out. But it is a mess, no question about it.
Next we go to Sean in Union Grove. Hi, Sean.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Very good.
I think that the delegates absolutely should not be seated as it is now. They knew the consequences going in, or the states knew the consequences going in of moving the primaries up. And consequently, the candidates made decisions on how to campaign based on the fact that those delegates would not be seated. So it absolutely is unfair to the candidates to seat them as is. And if they want them seated, the only really viable solution is to allow new primaries in those states at the expense of the states, not the national party.
Does that make sense, Professor McManus?
Well, whether it does make sense or not, the state has been very clear that they're not paying for a redo since it was a legal election under the Florida law. Secondly, the Florida Democratic Party has said vehemently that the national party should pay for it, but the national party has said they're absolutely not going to. And the Florida Democratic Party doesn't have enough to pay for it. So the only alternative for payment is to get some third-party contributions through the soft money route. And that is bound to yield some lawsuits here where you have outside money paying for an election. And another problem is, should the party conduct the election or should the state's election officials conduct the election? And that is another big debate going on, too, here, which, regardless of where you go, let's just put it this way, the lawyers are going to get rich out of this whole situation.
Yeah, it is a mess. Now, I did hear a lot of talk about getting, you know, some big bucks contributors to pony up. You say that that's, doesn't that seem to be where it's leaning right now?
Well, that's the only alternative because the state party doesn't have the money. It's estimated that between $6 and $10 million, and that would take just about everything they have that they were counting on using for the campaign for the general election, and you can see why the state party is just frantically opposed to, you know, having to pay for it themselves. They can't. And so, you know, but third parties coming in and soft money, that generates a lot of bad publicity as well. That's not desirable at this point in the election cycle, when, again, it looks like Florida Democrats have a good shot to carry this state for the first time in a while. And the whole thing is that's what's frustrating them the most. The very year it looks like they can carry Florida, they're having all these distractions and turmoil, even within their own party.
Yeah, and I see that Howard Dean, the DNC chair on the Sunday shows, talking about that he seems to favor anyway a mail-in primary, saying they work pretty well. I guess I didn't know that they worked pretty well.
Well, we haven't had any experience with it, and this is a huge state. And I point to Oregon, but we have twice as many registered Democrats in Florida as Oregon, and a huge electorate and a very diverse electorate. And to suddenly put something in place that has not been tried, and in a year when we're transitioning election equipment, even though this wouldn't apply to that, there's just a lot of unanswered questions, and this is what's gotten a lot of Democratic leaders here. Mm-hmm. Who like the idea but are worried about if it doesn't go well, then that's one more thing to blow up in Democrats' face. And they're really worried about fraud because we have a history of fraud with absentee ballots. Miami, a few years ago, the city had an election overturned because of fraud and absentee voting and mail voting. So there's that concern as well.
Now we go to Don in Manitowoc. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not familiar with Florida election laws, but I do know that McCain has the Republican ticket locked up. What is to prevent Republicans now in Florida, knowing that McCain has the nomination locked up, from jumping over and voting for the weakest candidate that they think there is on the Democratic side in order to further the cause of the Republican Party? Personally, I feel that if we have laws by passed by representatives, they should be representing the people, and that if the Florida elected representatives chose, in the face of what the consequences were going to be, they still chose to move the date ahead, and I think probably because of economics, you get the ads, the visits, the economic boost by being one of the first. If they made that decision, knowing what the consequences were going to be, how can they ethically now turn around and say foul, and we've got to have a revote? Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if Professor McManus could answer those concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. As to the first one, Florida has a closed primary, so there would be no way for Republicans to participate in a Democratic primary. You have to be registered here beforehand, 29 days ahead, to vote in an election. So that would not be possible, that problem. As to why it was moved ahead, and the same is true for Michigan, these are big states. They're very diverse states. They got tired of waiting till the end of the process and having no input into the selection of the presidential nominee. And so they moved it ahead so as to get candidates that were campaigning in their states committed to issues of importance to their states. In our state, it was the National Catastrophic Fund. After two horrible seasons of hurricanes, we realized the importance of having a National Catastrophic Fund, and they were trying to get candidates to commit to that. So that was one of the reasons for moving the date ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about Michigan because you're in Florida, but Michigan is a different situation in that only Hillary Clinton's name was on the Democratic ticket. The other candidates weren't even on the ballot in Michigan, right?
And it looks like, yes, and I did go to the University of Michigan, so mm-hmm. I do have somewhat of a connection mm-hmm. there and relatives still there, but it is a very different scenario, and it does look like the possibilities of getting a revote or having a caucus as a revoting mechanism is much more likely to occur there than possibly Florida. Florida's just got this fractiousness within the party itself and obviously between the candidates. But Michigan, it does look like, is probably closer to a revote than Florida.
Yeah, in only 30 seconds, Hillary Clinton doesn't like the idea of a caucus, does she?
No, she's been losing in caucuses because caucuses are primarily attended by younger mm-hmm. and more avid voters who tend to be Obama supporters.
Talking with Susan McManus, she is a distinguished university professor of political science at the University of South Florida, talking about what to do about the delegates in Florida and Michigan. We'll continue after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36, talking with Susan McManus, a university professor of political science at the University of South Florida, co-author of the 2007 book in the series Politics in Florida, about what to do about the delegates in Florida and Michigan. You'll recall that those two states stripped of their Democratic delegates for holding their primaries too early. And now all the talk about whether there ought to be a revote in each state or some sort of solution so that the delegates from those two states can indeed be seated at the Democratic National Convention. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Alice in Menominee is our next question. Caller. Hi, Alice. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have difficulty understanding why anything should be redone. when the Democratic Party made these rules, and I really questioned their ability to take away people's rights to have a vote in any state, when they made these rules, all the candidates knew what the rules were. If a candidate chose not to have their name on the ballot or to have their name on the ballot, that was their choice. They knew what the rules were going in. There was no advantage or disadvantage other than their strategy. And to redo it at this point, I think, is not fair. What is fair is the way it was laid out in the first place. And you know, at this point, they completely disenfranchise the public. They take away the public's right. I don't understand it. Why don't they proceed as they were going to?
Well, that's a question on the minds of a lot of Floridians, no question about it. And another bizarre situation occurred when the candidates themselves, after the calendar had already been moved up, signed a pledge in deference to the four early states, the New Hampshire, Iowa, South Carolina, Nevada, that they would not campaign in Florida or Michigan. And, of course, they could come down here. The irony is they could come down here to raise money, but they couldn't technically campaign. And that looked a little ridiculous to a lot of Floridians who would see stories in the paper about Obama or Hillary coming and raising money in somebody's private home and then going out on the street, and they couldn't respond to questions from reporters. The whole thing just seemed like a ridiculous limitation on the public's right to hear the candidates in their own words.
An email from Saul in Stevens Point. Michigan and Florida jumped the gun on the election, and many Dems in Florida were in on the vote to do it. The reason was to give their states a bigger voice in the primary process. Well, they have a heck of a big voice now. They should be scrambling to do a re-vote. I'm sure their voters would love it.
Well, seems to be a mixed opinion about that, even though the leading thing, is that Florida wants to be seated at the convention, and they don't understand the treatment by the party and by the candidates at a time when the candidates desperately need funds, desperately need big states' electoral votes. And in the 2004 election, I believe that Florida ponied up the third largest amount of contributions to Democrats of any state in the country. So that's another mystery, is they want our money, but they don't want to count our votes. That's a theme that you hear quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Ironically, Joy, today would have been the day that Florida would have held its primary.
Really?
Yes.
Well, here we go. Lenny in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two observations I want to make, and the first one is that the Rules Committee makes the rules on the primaries. And the states are obligated to abide by those rules. It was the Republican state legislature in Florida that decided they were going to move up the primary date. It doesn't matter why they did it, but they did it. They were warned not to do it. My second point is that if anybody gets disenfranchised, it's not going to be because of anything the DNC did or didn't do. But they, you know, Dr. D is in a pretty tight place, and I think the professor's going to agree with that. He's got to enforce the rules because he's the chair. And you can't have people just doing whatever they want. I don't care if it's the state of Florida or Michigan or whoever. And that's my opinion on it.
All right, thank
you. And then
you.
Lastly, you've got Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, both the contestants here, trying to take advantage of it. And I'll just listen to whatever comments you have off the air.
Okay. What comments do you have, Professor McGinnis?
Certainly the Barack versus Obama. Mm-hmm. We've already agreed that, you know, that each of them is looking at the solutions with different lenses and with an eye towards what will benefit them most at this point in the campaign, and that's understandable. As to the Rules Committee making the rules and the states obligated to do so and the Republican role in it, to be fair, the vote was almost unanimous in the Florida legislature. And to be fair, there were key Democrats who went out on the steps of the Capitol after the vote and said this was a good thing for Florida because it would obligate the candidates to talk about Florida issues as they went through the state. Now, it was part of a larger omnibus bill, and part of the larger omnibus bill called for the elimination of touchscreens, which is a high priority with Democrats. So they either had to vote up or down on a bill that would eliminate touchscreens but move up the calendar, or they had to vote no, and they would, you know, if they were just concerned about the primary, moving the date up, and then get caught back in their districts for not getting rid of touchscreens. So it was one of those difficult up or down votes that so many people complain about in Congress and elsewhere, that, you know, they put everything but the kitchen sink in one bill, and you got only a choice of voting it up or down. But it was a situation where Democrats and Republican leaders alike thought it was a good thing to move the calendar up, even though there were Democrats within the legislature who tried to propose amendments to keep the start date, or to make the start date February 5th, which would have been in line with national party rules. So it was just, a very complex issue, and the whole thing has been that way.
Yeah. What about Dr. Dean needs to enforce the rules?
Well, the caller has a point. He, as head of the national party, does have to adhere to the rules set by the Rules Committee. But there are a lot of people who feel like he could engage the Rules Committee and bring them to the table and recognize that maybe this wasn't optimal, that they can change the rules for the next election, but that, you know, you can't head into a major general election with two key states not at the table and not engaged in the convention. Because the convention, besides nominating people, conventions are a way to energize the volunteers that have to make the campaign work back in the home states, and to leave two key states out of that process, a lot of people say that Dean should call these people together and talk about a realistic compromise at this point.
Yeah. Mark in McHenry, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, and I totally agree with that statement. There needs to be something done, either a revote or something, to correct the situation. And beyond that, the primary system is Byzantine and overcomplicated and basically benefits the mass media and, frankly, is broken. When you have the industrial heart of this country being hollowed out and basically torn down by trade policies and everything else going on, and you have basically a vacation state and a rural state, two vacation states if you include Nevada, et cetera, helping to set the agenda early, so early in this process, there ought to be, if it's not a system of regional or super primaries, then it ought to be a lottery system, so that every state, it could be done a couple of years out, every state in this country has a chance to be first, and maybe a Michigan or an Ohio where the economy is basically being destroyed by current policies and economic situations, might have a chance to be the state to help set the agenda early, as opposed to states where the primary economy is skiing and seeing fall colors.
Yeah. A similar email from Mark in Janesville. Before you respond, Professor McManus, the real question is the powerful position that Iowa and New Hampshire are in, and that ought to be resolved. Professor McManus?
Well, it's hard to break with tradition, and you saw the trap that the candidates got in early, because if they're going to go first, they had to appease them first. And that's what yielded the pledge of the candidates not to come campaign in Florida, even though their campaigns were very active here through surrogates. I don't want to leave the impression that Florida did not know who the candidates were and what their positions were, because obviously, one thing different in the 2007 and 8 cycle has been the prevalence of debates. And the exit polls are clearly showing that Americans are tuning into these debates in record numbers and using them as decision points. And Florida's population is a little bit more engaged, more informed, the age makeup means that more people read newspapers and watch news programs than other places. So to say that the candidates weren't known in Florida and that Florida voters weren't engaged in the campaign and the candidates didn't have a chance to campaign here, they did in a very big way.
We're talking about the delegates in Florida and Michigan and whether they should be seated somehow at the Democratic National Convention. The two states were stripped of their delegates for moving up their primaries, talking about all the suggestions that maybe there ought to be revotes in each state, maybe revotes by mail, who should pay for that, or whether those states ought to face the consequences for moving up their primaries. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Should those votes in those states count or not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 12 minutes before 8 o'clock, coming up after 8. We should have some fun talking with the author of the book, Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat? Figure out what that's all about coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we're talking about the presidential race and the delegates in Florida and Michigan with Susan McManus, who is a distinguished university professor of political science at the University of South Florida, and Kyle in Lake Geneva is our next caller. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
All right, so my first point is that I think Howard Dean definitely needs, it seems like he's just washed his hands of this. And I know it's not completely his responsibility, but he does represent the leadership of the Democratic Party. So I think he needs to, get off his hands and provide some leadership here on the issue. And secondly, it seemed like in the beginning of the election, the Democrats were the ones who were united. They have a very similar platform between all the candidates, and the Republicans, you know, you had ideologies everywhere from John McCain to Ron Paul. It was like a circus, and now it's completely opposite. McCain's their man. They're going to be able to unite, and this is going to completely tear the Democratic Party apart. Mm-hmm. And as Ralph Nader said, if they can't completely sweep the Republicans this year, it's nobody's fault but their own.
Is this going to, thank you very much, Kyle. Professor McManus, is this going to tear apart the Democratic Party?
Well, it's certainly not helping matters right now, and there is a concern because polls here have shown that a certain percentage of independents are saying that this brouhaha is making them more likely to vote Republican. But I think that once the slate is picked, that the healing process will take place pretty quickly. But it is the case that depending upon whether, you know, who's on the ticket, and if one of these two is excluded, meaning Clinton and Obama, if they're not on the same ticket, whomever supports the one that's not on there, there's a fear that they will either stay home or vote for McCain.
Yeah. Jim from Madison emails this. The flaw with your guest's argument is that the primaries to select nominees for president are party events, not public events. The legislatures of states can select primary dates all they want, but the party doesn't have to recognize them. Michigan's governor was trying to game the system for Hillary. Florida had their own ideas at odds with both the RNC and the DNC. The parties call the shots here, not the legislatures or the governors.
Well, he's absolutely right in terms of the parties controlling the nominating process. But I think that, you know, if you look at it just like that, but if you look at it from the perspective of Voting Rights Act and the 14th and 15th Amendment, that whatever process you have in place cannot disenfranchise voters, then that's a very different argument. And I think that's one that's going to be surfacing pretty quickly in the lawsuit venue.
Next, we'll go to Lauren in Delavan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. Professor, let me give you a scenario that I think you ought to take back to Florida with you.
She's there.
Let's say that they have a mail-in vote, and the vote is very close. In fact, it's within partial percentages of one another. You've got people that are claiming that it's voter fraud. You have lawsuits on both sides. The Democratic National Convention is almost tied, and the result of who's going to be the Democratic candidate will be based upon the results of a lawsuit that is settled by the Florida Supreme Court at the last minute.
Does that sound familiar, Lauren?
It does sound familiar, but I think it would be settled by the U.S. Supreme Court under the 14th Amendment and 15th Amendments and the Voting Rights Act. But let me point out that Florida does have a law that if the election is within a half a percentage point, the vote totals, there's an automatic recount. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, the fraud issue is one that several of the Congress members who are, again, Democratic Congress members, are expressing concern about, that rushing quickly to put something in place that the state has never had, meaning a mail-in vote, and the potential fraud would not be, again, helpful to Florida Democrats carrying the state for their candidate in November.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Professor McManus, aside from Florida and Michigan feeling as though they mattered, will the delegates from both of those states, that they are, you know, they're split proportionately between Clinton and Obama, will it really make that much of a difference? And won't both of the candidates still won't have the required number of delegates, will they?
No, but the delegate mix will probably be changed depending on the outcome. And Florida Democrats held their delegate selection caucuses a couple weekends ago, so those people have already been picked that think that they're going to get to go to the convention if things are worked out. But that whole thing would have to be redone as well.
Next we go to John in La Crosse. Hi, John.
Yes, good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering whether or not, based on a historical basis, whether splitting the vote or splitting the delegate count, I guess, between the two candidates is a viable option, given the fact that it somewhat penalizes the legislatures of the states who kind of broke the rules, and yet it doesn't totally disenfranchise the delegates or the voters in those states. I'll take my comments off the air.
Well, it's one of the proposals on the table here to split the delegates 50-50 between Obama and Clinton, but as you might imagine, the Clinton campaign is really not finding that acceptable because they, again, if they kept the results as is, would gain 38 delegate points on Obama. So they're thinking that would not be fair to them, and it would not reflect the will of Florida Democrats. But if there's a revote, that would take care of that problem. But the 50-50 proposal is on the table.
Mm-hmm. Next we go to Gary in Madison. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Well, it's just very frustrating. As a Democrat, it makes us look very silly. And I agree with the previous caller that the Republicans are certainly going to use this, and we'll find another way to shoot ourselves in the foot and lose this election. It's clear to me that the Obama people don't want a recount because I'm sure Michigan, like Ohio, a downtrodden state, four people will vote for Senator Clinton, and I think Clinton already won in Florida once, so Obama's going to be a obstructionist in any kind of a re-election, I'm quite sure. It's just so disheartening because this was our election to lose, and I can see things just going down the drain. I'll take my comments off the air. Thanks.
Do you see that happening, Professor McManus?
He reflects the views of a lot of Floridians and Michiganders, I'm sure, and Democrats across the country because, you know, by any model that would be used to forecast this election, it should be an easy Democratic year to win, even gain seats in the U.S. Congress, which that probably still will happen. But there is a fear among Democrats that this mess will just, you know, and depending on how it works out, may even cause a portion of Democrats who might have voted to stay home or vote for the opposition.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Daryl in Cumberland. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Yeah, my comment is that, you know, Hillary made the tactical decision to put her name on the ballot, and the other ones made the tactical error in not putting their names on the ballot. I think they should just go by what the vote was, and Hillary gets what she gets, and what was voted as a no vote gets divided up between the candidates that were on the that were actively campaigning at the time, and whatever percentage that is what, you know, divided up is what Obama gets.
Does that make sense, Professor McManus?
Well, there has been the argument in Michigan that she was the more tactical of the candidates, that each of them could have kept their names on. Each of them had their names on initially, and the others voluntarily took them off, and I'm sure that if there are lawsuits there, that the voluntary removal of your name from the ballot would be one of the points that would be raised. But I think just from the whole picture and the different kinds of points that have been made by your listeners this morning, you see the complexity of this issue and the frustration of Democrats across the country that this can't be resolved. But with the campaign so close and the stakes so high, you know, you can understand why the candidates themselves are going to fight for the position that benefits them the most.
Well, very active hour with listener participation, too, Professor McManus. So a lot of people are watching and wondering. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Always a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Susan McManus, Distinguished University Professor of Political Science at the University of South Florida, co-author of the 2007 book in the series, Politics in Florida. We thank Karen Prager for producing this hour, and we thank Professor McManus for her time. More on this subject coming up after 9 o'clock this morning with Kathleen Dunn and her guest, talking about, once again, whether the Florida and Michigan primaries should be redone or what solutions might be reached in this controversy. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.